Today's episode of NARAL's The Morning After is sponsored by Comedy for Choice. Join us October 15th at Signature Wines in Columbus at 7 p.m. and October 16th at 7 p.m. at The Nash on East 80th. We're going to have several comics coming out, four comics in Columbus: Brooke Cardis, Travis Hoescher, Lauren Benkaz, Dustin Meadows in Columbus on October 15th. The next night, we're going to be back October 16th in Cleveland with Lauren Benkaz, Dustin Meadows, and Mike Polk, who's hilarious. He did a terrific impersonation of John Kasich that made the news during the 2013 budget cycle. And in Cleveland, free bowling. So both shows, $25. Get your tickets at prochoiceohio.org. We'll see you then. Today's show is me, Jamie, and Randy sitting down talking about all of the bills that are attacking women in the state of Ohio. These evil, evil proposals will ban abortion and strip funding for women's health care. We run down all of them, looking at each individual bill, talking about why they're doing what they're doing, as if there's any good reason behind any of them. There isn't. It's a terrific way to get caught up as the legislature comes back into session for the fall. NARAL's The Morning After is a production of NARAL Pro Choice Ohio. Enjoy the show. Hi, I'm Gabe.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Randy.
And today is October 8th. Jamie, what did John Kasich do now?
Well, you know, I think it's funny because he's been portraying this, you know, moderate, I'm a good guy kind of thing all over the place, and nobody believes all of us from Ohio that talk about how much of a jerk he can be sometimes.
Yeah, he's a real jerk.
He's a real jerk. And so he kind of proved that at a gathering, I think it was New Hampshire. I was supposed to look it up.
On the campaign
trail. University of Richmond, actually. It was in Virginia.
Virginia, even
Randy
better.
Randy with the facts, okay.
There we go.
I know, that's a difference.
It was at a university with young people. Was supposed to highlight how good he is with young people. They supposedly, you know, packed the stage behind him with young people, so it looked like there was young people supporting John Kasich. And then he called
the millennials.
Yes, the millennials.
As we call them.
God, I hear politicians use the term millennial, and I just reach for something sharp and rusty to shove into my eardrums because I hate the word so bad.
Yes. They think it's like they think just by saying it that somehow makes them like in the know and cool because they know the word millennial.
God, it's awful.
I'm down with the millennials.
Okay, John Kasich and the millennials.
John Kasich and the millennials. They're not doing so well together because, so, you know, he opened it up for questions, and I guess he answered a bunch of questions from like 50 and 60 year old people in the room.
Okay.
And then
his demographic.
And then he finally calls on one of the 20 year old female students in the audience.
Okay.
And before she can even open her mouth and ask the question, says, "I'm sorry, I don't have any Taylor Swift tickets for you. I know that's why you came here today."
That's what he said to her?
Yes.
He told her, he called on her.
He called on her.
And before she could get anything out of her mouth, said, "Sorry, I don't have Taylor Swift tickets."
Yeah, because that's the only reason a 20-year-old young woman would be coming to a political event, not to learn about the candidates and do her civic duty, but to get Taylor Swift tickets from John Kasich.
And who thinks that you have Taylor Swift tickets anyway, John Kasich? Like, really?
Yeah.
No one thinks that you would. I mean, not that she came there for that, but really, no one thinks you have Taylor Swift tickets. You're not cool.
Well, and I guess it wasn't the only like ridiculous, stupid things they did. His new walkout song, I guess, is "Shut Up and Dance." Mm-hmm. So, "Shut Up and Dance with Me." Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of the theme for his, you know, general way he operates. Just shut up and do whatever I want you to do. Don't talk to me about it. And then I guess he actually had talked to a young person in the audience before and told her that, you know, she was so pretty that she must get invited to all the parties.
John Kasich said that?
Yes.
Why is he talking about...
you must get invited to all the parties.
That's like,
what
the
a creepo.
Creep.
I know, right? What a creep. Like,
Kasich,
stop
just,
it.
Yeah, stop.
No.
So whatever meditation or substance that his campaign staff had been giving him to kind of pull the jerk out of John Kasich's personality must have either stopped working or they've stopped doing it, because the real John Kasich is now showing up on the campaign trail. So maybe people will finally believe us about how much of a jerk
he is. He's not even winning here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's third behind Donald Trump and Ben Carson and my Ohio Republicans.
In Ohio, in his own state.
In his home state.
He's the governor here, and he can't be third.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, okay, Donald Trump's riding the crazy wave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's, I mean, he's
he can't beat Ben Carson, no. who, I mean, at every opportunity puts his foot in his mouth, or, you know, just that much further.
My, yes, he's terrible.
He's terrible.
I mean, just, I'm not to get off, but just his comments he's made recently about the mass shooting that happened in Oregon.
Yeah.
Just about how.
He made offensive comments.
Yes. Really offensive. Like, what's wrong with you? No. Don't ever say those things. Just stop talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really, really bad.
Yeah, as much as it says about John Kasich, I think it's even scarier what it says about Ohio Republicans. Like, yes. who's living in this state with us? Which we're going to talk about for the rest of the type of Ohio Republicans that operate in our state is what we're going to kind of talk about for the rest of
today. Excellent segue. That's our theme this week. All the crazy shit we've been putting up with.
Yes.
We wanted to take this week to give a rundown for our supporters. There are so many bills that are attacking Ohio women. Let's run through each of them, kind of talk about, you know, who's pushing each, why, you know, what their whacked out justification is, how each bill is moving, because they all move at different speeds or have different likelihoods of actually passing. So the first one is the one that everybody in the country heard about, and that's the heartbeat bill.
Yeah.
So it's back for its third...
I think it's the fourth time, isn't it?
Third.
It's the third session. It's the fourth bill because sometimes they introduce a bill in the House and a bill in the Senate and they hang out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're both correct.
yes.
So yeah, third session, fourth time they've introduced the bill. The first time they introduced the bill, it got through the House and then died in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
The second time they introduced the bill... the House actually voted it down, which never happens.
No. I wish I could have been in the room when that happened.
Oh, it was something. You never bring a bill to the floor if it's not going to pass.
Yeah.
Like as Speaker of the House, you don't ever do that because you'd be wasting people's time and it'd be an embarrassment for the bill sponsor.
Yeah.
But that's what they did.
Well, they wanted to embarrass the bill sponsor. Yeah. the purpose of that.
But I'm sure they're tired of it. Well, they should be.
Yeah.
As much fun as the actual room was, the stairwell after was actually the real fun part because the sponsor of the heartbeat bill constantly talks to me every time we're in the hallway together. And
you're talking about Janet? Course.
Janet Folger Porter.
She's not an elected official.
No.
So she's just a lobbyist.
Yes.
Yeah.
So technically she's not the bill sponsor, but she wrote the thing.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote it and then handed it off to the person who introduced the bill.
And that she's really the one that they wanted to embarrass by doing this vote because she has been attacking Republicans for not passing this wildly unconstitutional bill for the last, 6 years now?
Yes.
So, you know, and they're sick and tired of it. So they put it to the floor to do that. So
she's attacking Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Calling
same
them
lady.
Rhinos,
yeah,
Republicans
exactly.
in name only.
She was out there protesting at the RNC in Cleveland because Kasich is not pro-life enough.
Yeah. She's still going at it. She's sending out emails every week to people in Ohio saying, call these Republicans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so, you know, she constantly talks to me in the hall and a play on my last name, Miracle. She was, when they were going to vote out it out of committee, she's like, you're going to see a miracle when they vote on it today. And I was like, yeah, sure. not for the women of the state of Ohio. So to get back at her, I couldn't stop myself when the hallway on the way out of the chamber the day that they voted it down, I looked at her, I walked past her and I looked at her and I was like, hey, I did see a miracle. It was just today, not last week. And the look on her face was one of the most priceless things I've ever seen. So
yes,
that was pretty fabulous.
Okay, so that was last session when it got voted down. This session, back again, Christina Hagan. Representative Hagan, there's several Representative Hagans over in Ohio. Representative Christina Hagan sponsoring it. It is House Bill 69. So it's had an initial committee hearing, one or two.
No, passed out of the House.
Passed out of the House, that's right. Never mind, sorry. okay, so it's passed out of the House. So if the Senate wanted to move it, they could.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to.
No.
Because they're still pissed at Janet.
Yeah, and I think the only reason the House even passed it was just to get it the heck out of there.
Right. They didn't want the phone calls.
Yeah, they didn't want the pounding phone calls and everything else. So they said, you know what? We've been dealing with the pounding for the last 5 years. Senate, it's your turn. Right. So we're going to pass it. We're going to get it out as quickly as we can. And that's exactly what they did. And now it's been sitting in the Senate ever since. And the Senate president has said over and over and over again, he's never going to allow a vote on the bill. So
right.
We're going to take him on his word.
So just to review what the heartbeat bill would do in terms of policy, it's a 6-week abortion ban.
Yes. Yes.
It says as soon as there's a detectable heartbeat, you can't have an abortion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's before most women understand that they'd be pregnant. Mm-hmm. This would be kind of in effect a complete abortion ban in Ohio.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Okay. So this is the bill that everybody's heard about. You know, folks, you know, get angry coast mm-hmm. to coast about Ohio's heartbeat bill, but it's not really the most important thing right now because it's stalled.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm.
And even if it did pass, it's so wildly unconstitutional. It would be immediately enjoined in the courts and would never go into effect.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, even if it did, for some reason, get the vote in the Senate and pass, it would never go into effect.
Right. So what's more important to us than the heartbeat bill?
There's several things, starting with a bill we heard this week in committee, the 20-week ban. So the like we talked about before, there's a House version and a Senate mm-hmm. version, House Bill 117 and Senate Bill 127. The Senate bill passed out of the Senate right before they went away for the summer.
Okay.
So in like early May, it passed out of the Senate. So now the House is considering the Senate bill. So Senate Bill 127 had its first hearing in Community and Family Advancement Committee, also known as the Abortion Committee, because that's where all of the abortion bills go.
Right.
They created a special committee just so the Health Committee people didn't have to listen to the abortion committee, the abortion bills anymore.
And this is the committee that's chaired by Representative Derrickson, who wears the bow ties and he leads the prayer before every single committee session.
Yeah, honoring diversity in mm-hmm. Jesus' name. Yes. Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
I don't know how you honor diversity and then only pray in one deity's name, but we'll just leave that alone.
and people have talked about this guy potentially running for Boehner seat. He's in that sort of turf. So, mm-hmm. you know, folks who don't, aren't from Ohio, they might hear more and more about Representative Tim Derrickson.
Yes.
But right now he's just running an abortion circus.
Yes.
And 20-week ban.
So the 20-week ban would ban abortions at 20 weeks. Based on the completely factually, medically inaccurate notion that the sensors and the nerve patterns are created by 20 weeks such that a fetus could feel pain at that point.
Okay.
Medical science shows that this is not actually occurring at that point in a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All the medical associations have said that this notion is false. So What does the anti-choice movement do with false medical information? We turn it into laws. Yay. Right.
Exactly.
So,
our claim that there's not really consensus or that it was something going on over here. Something that really pissed me off when they were having the hearing and then Peggy Lehner came up and was talking about, well, if they don't feel pain, then how come when they do neonatal surgery, they give the fetus anesthesia? Why do they need anesthesia if they don't feel pain? I'm like, because that's so they don't move, because they're having surgery and obviously they don't want the fetus to move or else they could go really badly. It's not because they're feeling pain. It's just so they'll be sedated and not move around. But you would have known that if you had done any research at all whatsoever.
Yeah. Or were a doctor, you know, details.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Peggy Lehner from the
Senator
Peggy Lehner, from the Dayton area, Kettering. And Senator Shannon Jones from the Cincinnati area, I think that's right, are the two main sponsors of the Senate bill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that is moving. Peggy Lehner was the only one giving sponsor testimony. Shannon Jones must have been out of the city or something. So Senator Lehner actually gets our walk of shame this week because when asked about whether or not this 20-week ban has an exception for rape and incest, which it, of course, does not, said that, well, if we put a rape and incest exception into the bill, then all the women of Ohio would just fake being raped in order to get access to abortion.
They would what?
Yes, they would file false claims, fake that they were rape victims in order to access abortion care.
Uh-huh.
That was Peggy Lehner's reasoning for why we shouldn't have a rape or incest exception.
Is this something that she's got proof that that would happen?
Of course not.
Okay.
I mean, rape is the most underreported crime in the United States, probably in the world. So the fact that somebody would, you know, randomly say, oh, wait, I was raped, so can I have an abortion now, is completely false. And it's a common theme. I mean, we hear all the time about before emergency contraception was over the counter and we were working on getting all emergency rooms to dispense emergency contraception to rape victims. What we heard back from all the people who didn't want to support emergency contraception was, well, we can't say that rape victims should have access to emergency contraception because then everybody's just going to come into the emergency room and say they were raped to get emergency contraception.
Right.
So these people have zero concept of what it means to suffer the trauma of being a survivor of sexual assault. So,
and they don't care.
And they don't care. No.
Not at all.
It's just a talking point. It's an easy way to dismiss the fact that their bill is cruel for survivors of rape and incest and does not have an exception for that bill. And she was also very dismissive. I mean, she gets the walk of shame, I think, for her entire testimony. She was also completely and totally dismissive of any woman who could possibly have an some kind of problem during her pregnancy. It's such a rare case that, you know, we can't legislate based on rare cases. And actually, Christina Hagen, the sponsor of the 6-week ban, actually did that to Representative Boyce as well in the committee, because Representative Boyce talked about how his wife, Kevin Boyce, talked about how his wife had had some issues during pregnancy because her blood type and the baby's blood type didn't match. And in certain cases, when they don't match, there can be major problems with the mom's blood mixing with the baby's blood. And so he talked about how his wife's pregnancies were complicated and they, you know, needed extra care and those kinds of things. And something could have gone wrong to endanger his wife's health during these pregnancies. And, you know, having options to make sure that women stay healthy during pregnancies is critical.
Right.
And then Representative Christina Hagen comes in and says, well, I have that problem and it's just 3 shots, so it's not that big of a deal. Totally dismissing the fact that Kevin Boyce experienced this pregnancy with his wife and medical complications that went along with it. So your experience isn't valid. We're just going to dismiss it. It was very, very dismissive of all women who could have issues. Because no, not every woman seeking abortion care after 20 weeks is having a medical problem. She could be choosing it for a variety of reasons.
Right.
And we're protecting all of those women. But the fact that we're dismissing that there's even a possibility that something can go tragically wrong during a pregnancy just throws out the experiences of thousands of women in Ohio and across the state, across the country.
Right. And for that comment to come from a representative who's sitting there who has probably some of the best health insurance of anybody in the state, you know, she's a member of the state general assembly. She probably has excellent access to a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, which she should.
Yeah.
And so should every woman.
Yeah. Yes. But we know that's not
those
the case.
Simple 3 shots might be really hard to get in some places.
Yes.
You know, or impossible to afford for some women. So.
Yeah. It was completely dismissive of anybody's actual real life experience.
So Senator Lehner says that this isn't because women are having medical complications. Mm-hmm. And then she also says that women aren't having this because they've been raped, because she thinks that women who have been raped would have had an abortion earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That this 20-week ban doesn't apply to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's like she's sort of wading through. No, it's not these people. And no, it's not these people.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, in your, you know, mental picture of all of the women getting abortions at 20 weeks, Senator, who is left? And let's take a look, you know, because really then you could say, okay, it's not women who were raped. And it, in her mind, it's not women who've had medical complications. Well, maybe it's just women who couldn't afford to get the procedure earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So then let's take cost out of the picture, lady.
Yeah. Let's fund it with Medicaid. Let's go. Yay.
Yeah. Let's repeal Hyde to make sure that everybody gets an earlier procedure so you don't have, you know, procedures at 20 weeks because of, you know, financial hardship.
Well, that's, and we're seeing that. There's research out of Texas that we don't have time to get into that shows that Texas is going in and having women in Texas are having abortions later because of the restrictions.
Right.
Waiting 20 days for an appointment.
And we're seeing that in Ohio as well. There are waiting periods at our clinics as well. But beyond that, the numbers that came out of the 2014 abortion report show that the percentage of abortions happening in the first trimesters is dropping.
Right.
And the percentage of abortions happening in the like 12 to 16 and the 16 to 20 week periods are actually increasing.
Right.
Because we've closed half the clinics, because we've made it more expensive, because we require two visits for the women, and it has to be with the same doctor both times. So if she, you know, if the clinic has more than one doctor, she does her pre-appointment with Dr. A, and then she schedules her abortion with Dr. A, and then, you know, misses it and schedules it with Dr.
You know,
B.
I never actually realized all over that. Again. Oh, my God.
She has to start the whole thing all over again and wait an additional 24 hours and get another ultrasound. It's not medically necessary. And do
none of this is medically necessary.
No, none of this is medically necessary. Oh. So, you know, the fact that we're saying, well, women can't have abortions after 20 weeks because they should have them earlier, but all these other laws that we've already passed over here shoved her later into pregnancy in the first place. So if you really actually cared about women getting access to abortion before 20 weeks, you need to get rid of all of these over here.
Right.
Which is what we'll talk about next week. So we're going to put that one on hold.
So and so then that's a 20-week ban. The state of Ohio already has in place a 24-week ban because we've got this post-viability ban, which was signed by Governor Kasich in 2011, 2012, somewhere there. So, you know, Senator Lehner's pushing this. There's also a House bill.
117.
But it really does look like Lehner's bill is the one that's got the greatest chance of moving. The other thing about Senator Peggy Lehner we haven't discussed is that she's the former head of Ohio Right to Life.
Yes.
So she's not just some senator who's picked this up as a you know, campaign promise. She is a lifelong career anti-choice activist who happens to be holding office right now.
Oh, totally. And this is all a campaign against Dr. Haskell, who operates the only remaining clinic in her area in Dayton. She's been on a personal crusade against him as a provider since she's entered the legislature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a 20-week ban.
So that's a 20-week ban. What else is happening? Uh-oh.
I know, he's falling out. I cannot comment on any of that just because I cannot...
There are no words.
I cannot comprehend women who tried to take away other women's choices. I cannot comprehend just that in their mind, really, that it's just these women over here who need this, and because they were in their mind. They were promiscuous and slutty, and they got pregnant, and now they don't want to have to deal with the consequences, and we're not going to allow that. I just, anyway, moving on, because that's ridiculous. And another ridiculous thing.
Introduced by another woman, by the way.
Yes. Remember to vote, people. Anyway, the Down syndrome ban, House Bill 135, which we have heard testimony on that in the House already. And basically what the Down syndrome ban is that if you receive a fetal diagnosis of Down syndrome, then in the state of Ohio, it would be illegal for you to terminate your pregnancy. And they say it's about discrimination, that we're discriminating against, you know, fetuses that have Down syndrome.
Yeah.
But at the
same... They're saying it's that women are discriminating against their fetus.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Ridiculous. And, I mean, this reminds me of our friend Brian Kemper coming in when he storms in and it's like, why don't you guys just say what you really are? You just, you're pro-abortion, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why don't you say what you really are, which is pro-birth and pro-fetus, and you don't give a fuck about women and what happens to them. You don't give a fuck about the baby after it's born and who's going to take care of it. Because at the same time as you're saying that it would be illegal for you to terminate if you have a diagnosis of Down syndrome, at the same time, the state of Ohio, my home state, is being sued for how they fund special education because they don't have enough resources. So at the same time, you're telling women you're going to have this baby and then, you know, we're not going to give you the resources that you need to take care of it. I mean, why do you think women are more apprehensive, you know, about having to potentially take care of a child that has Down syndrome? Because that is a lot of work, you know. That's a personal decision, as every pregnancy is. And I mean, that's just...
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, people.
Well, it is. And I mean, we've seen parent after parent actually come out against this bill.
Exactly.
I think we're up to like 5 or 6 now who have, you know, commented on this bill that say, you know what, I chose to bring my child with Down syndrome into this world, and that should be a choice that is available to every single person. One of them even said, if I had had the diagnosis, I probably would have terminated. Am I happy I have a child now? Yes, but that would have been my choice, and I would have been okay with that. And mm-hmm. every woman should have that ability to make that choice.
These parents not only said so, they wrote it.
Yeah.
These have been statements that have been published, CNN, Yahoo Parent blog. There was some reaction to it, echoing these sentiments in the New York Times. You can see excerpts from them on our blog, NARALProChoiceOhio.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the other piece of about this bill, which is so ridiculous about it getting passed, and we do think that it's been sitting and waiting for a vote in the House since it passed out of the committee.
Right.
Which is kind of weird because usually these things pass out of committee and immediately go to the floor that day. So not quite sure what's holding this up. But they've admitted that it's not enforceable because it's all based on whether or not the doctor knew that the woman was terminating solely based on this prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome. And so, you know, we don't interrogate women getting abortions because frankly, whatever their decision is their decision and we don't care why. And so it's completely unenforceable. It's totally a messaging piece to shame women about their decisions to have an abortion based on whatever decision it is, whatever reason it is. So, you know, not only does it not do anything to help people, families raising a child with Down syndrome, but it really won't impact access, you know, like it.
No.
It'll impact access from a point of view of women will feel like they can't do it anymore. Yeah. But legally, there's no way to actually enforce this bill to actually have a case come forward.
But women feeling that they don't have that right
is enough. I
mean, that's a win for them.
Oh yeah, because we already
for
see
the
that.
Other side.
We already see that. I mean, when the heartbeat bill starts to get moving and things like that, and people talk about abortions being banned in Ohio, we get calls like, "Can I still have an abortion?" The clinics talk about how women call and say, "How far along can I be before I'm not allowed to have an abortion? I heard about the 6-week ban. Can I still have an abortion? I'm at 8 weeks." Yeah. So, you know, the fact that even we're talking about a lot of these bills gets out into Ohio, and like we need to remind people that the clinics are still open. That yes, you know, Toledo's in a lawsuit, Cincinnati and Dayton are all in a lawsuit trying to stay open, but right now they are all open, and women still can still go there for healthcare. And this is what we fight really against is the fact that it may or may not be legal or illegal, but if you can't get it or don't know that you can get access to it, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And for some women, you know, figuring it out, they might have a very small window of time to figure out, okay, you know, what have I heard is actual law? What is some pending legislation? Mm-hmm. You know, is something that I just heard somebody describing a bill that was proposed in a previous General Assembly that's not even active legislation anymore? You know, is it something that's stuck in the courts where, you know, maybe there was something passed, but a clinic is still operating while a court takes their time. All of these things can be a distraction that causes women to actually miss the opportunity to get a procedure.
Or they could call and hit a crisis pregnancy center instead of an abortion clinic and get the wrong information about whether or not it's legal or accessible.
And that crisis pregnancy center, the set of lies that they're telling might be backed up by the rumors or the information about pending legislation. Yeah. And when you see the lie and then you see the half truth because the bill hasn't been passed, that might be enough to convince a lot of women that, oh, this isn't something I'm legally entitled to.
Yeah.
Even if she is.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, I mean, so many of these, it doesn't really matter if it passes or not. I mean, we talked about having a 24-week ban.
Legally, I was going to say legally entitled doesn't mean I'm still not going to try to get one.
Yeah.
Right.
That's very, very true. But like with our 24-week ban right now, most of our clinics have stopped doing it at 20 weeks because it requires viability testing that doesn't exist. So our providers aren't going to risk going to jail to do procedures. So even though it's technically not illegal until viability at 24 weeks because of this gray area, they're going to say no. So a lot of our providers have even stopped at 20 weeks already because of the way our current laws are so murky on these issues.
Yeah. So this Down syndrome proposed ban, House Bill 135, we're still
waiting.
Still waiting to see what
still
happens.
Still waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And John Kasich said he'd sign it as soon as it's passed.
Yes,
of course.
Didn't even like let Jake Tapper finish his sentence to ask him the question. Yeah. He was all about that.
Abortion restriction, yeah. I'm all over it.
Hasn't seen the final bill language.
No.
Doesn't care. Idea.
No.
I'll sign it.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. The ironic thing about that is that Peggy Lehner thinks that women are going to lie about being raped in order to get an abortion. And with the Down syndrome ban, it's that you're making it so that women may want to lie about having that diagnosis in order to still get an abortion. Irony.
Right.
Like they just don't. No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So those are our proposed abortion bans that we're fighting against. The 6-week ban, which is not really a huge threat right now, the 20-week ban, which is a big threat, and the Down syndrome ban, which is a big threat.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the abortion bans that they've got going. Separately, they have legislation to specifically defund Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which the state of Ohio has already done once.
Yes.
John Kasich signed that. In 2013 as a part of his state budget that year. That was the budget signing where he's surrounded by all the guys. There weren't any women even in the room with him to strip away women's funding.
Yes.
That previous defunding action took away access to federal grant money, or it reprioritized federal grant money to make it harder for groups like Planned Parenthood and other family planning providers to get. This time around, the defunding proposals have specifically targeted some of the few remaining programs that Planned Parenthood puts on that get tax dollars.
Yeah.
Those are for fighting HIV/AIDS and reducing the infant mortality rate in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Which is terrible.
Preventing infertility and breast cancers and sexual assault, the other three.
Yeah.
Right. So all of these are programs that have really righteous goals, you know, to protect, to you know, really protect women's health and the health of infants.
Yes.
Because we're at the bottom of the barrel.
After they're born.
Overall. Yes.
I know, right?
Dead last in terms of, you know, black babies and the infant mortality rate. Planned Parenthood is working to save these newborn babies. And politicians are going after their funding in a fruitless attempt to try and stop Planned Parenthood from doing abortions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So during the committee, we had a committee hearing on one of the House bills. Which one was it?
294.
House Bill 294. There's House Bill 294. It's companion Senate Bill 314.
We think.
And then there's also a super crazy version of House Bill 257. Yeah. So we had a hearing last week, and there was a lot of just really, really stupid debate over what this bill would do because the sponsors think that it's going to stop abortion somehow.
It's going to stop misappropriating money that should go to HIV from going to abortion. Like it was
all of which was just reviewed top to bottom by the Ohio Attorney General and the state auditor. You know, they've completely examined and the Department of Health is constantly looking.
Yeah.
There's no misappropriation of anything.
If they were doing something wrong, we would know it by now. There's I mean, there's not an organization that could possibly be more regulated than Planned Parenthood, especially when you have a Republican House and a Republican Senate.
Right.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. And like you said, to try to say, I mean, I'm just like, why don't they just, it's this information is not hard to come by that by defunding them, that they're not going to stop them from performing abortions because we don't pay for that anyway.
Right.
So I don't understand why. Why?
Because it's a talking
point. Politicians love to say that a certain bill is a solution in search of a problem. That's their little, you know, they always giggle at themselves on set.
Mm-hmm.
This is a solution in search of a problem that's already been proven by other Republicans not to exist in hope that somehow they were wrong. But
yeah, I mean, and, I mean, it's the state auditor. The state auditor of Ohio is not a friend to Planned Parenthood.
No.
So, you know, I'm sure that press release when he said, well, we investigated their spending money and we found nothing wrong with the way they did it, was a really hard one for them to write because right. they didn't want to write that press release.
They had to admit that Planned Parenthood's doing everything right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not even like, you know, they can claim that the state auditor's in the pocket of Planned Parenthood. He's not.
No.
So the fact of the matter is that the whole time they were doing this stupid hearing, we were talking about abortion funding, which is awesome, and the state should do.
Right.
But it doesn't do it. So, yes. And
Representative Michelle Lepore-Hagan, the other Representative Hagan, the good Representative
yes.
Hagan. She got our That's What She Said moment of the week when she asked the bill sponsors, quote, are abortions in Ohio funded by tax dollars? And Representative Patman had to stand there and say, well, no.
He actually said, and it's been investigated by the auditor. And
right.
he said, he totally
admitted
yeah.
that the thing that he's looking to stop from happening doesn't actually happen.
Mm-hmm. But yet we're going to continue with this hearing,
right.
spend money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So she did a great job.
Craziness.
The legislation is really terrible.
Yes.
I know when they've talked about Senator Faber's Senate version of mm-hmm. the bill, one of the aspects that he's looking to include is a ban on public funding for entities that contract with Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. Which means that if your local high school gets their sex education from a Planned Parenthood health mm-hmm. educator that they contract with to come in and provide kids with sex ed, mm-hmm. that entire public high school could be defunded.
Yeah.
It would attack schools if they enter into a contract. Mm-hmm. So it's going to stop Planned Parenthood from providing sex ed. Any good public school, hospital, whatever, if they have a contract with Planned Parenthood, it would defund the hospital or the yeah. school or any other, mm-hmm. you know, entity. They're going to stop kids from getting sex education, which is going to in turn mean more unintended pregnancies and more teenagers seeking mm-hmm. abortions.
Well, in a program that's in the Senate bill, it's not even in the House bill for some reason. I don't know if they just figured it out later or whatever, is a program called Teen Prep. And it's actually a program aimed at incarcerated youth
mm-hmm. yeah.
and foster care youth.
Right.
Two populations that really need sexual health information.
Prep is a totally awesome program.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's one of the highest ranking programs. It's totally been shown to be effective scientifically, yeah. medically. And we're just going to defund it. And who else is going to, I mean, I'm sure there are a million other entities out there racing to do programming with incarcerated youth. I'm sure that there's, you know, millions and millions of them out there that are.
That was sarcasm, wasn't it?
just like there's so many other clinics that can provide that,
right.
You know, dentist office, the LASIK place. Uh-huh. I wouldn't suggest going to the LASIK place for your pap smear, but apparently that's what they think people can do. So.
LASIK pap smear.
Oh, I wouldn't suggest it.
No.
Oh,
no, man. PrEP is a really amazing program. My last job was with Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. I had the good fortune of going to Washington, D.C., one time on a, you know, one of those, hey, everybody, let's go to Washington and learn some stuff and mm-hmm. we'll visit Capitol Hill. And so, I got to lead the group to go into Sherrod Brown's office. Part of the reason that I got assigned to that is it's Sherrod Brown's a terrific champion. Uh-huh. And so you don't have to convince mm-hmm. his staff of anything.
No.
Every time we go there, you know, everybody's got their talking points ready. And then his staff tells us the things that we came to talk to them about because they know it even mm-hmm. better than we do. His staff is terrific.
Yes.
So we're sitting there in Sherrod Brown's conference room with one of his staffers. And we've got some, you know, some high school kids, some college kids, and some of the kids were with the PrEP program. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any contact with them before. They had a, you know, an educator mm-hmm. who was assigned to work with them. So we all sat down. I wasn't really familiar with their stories, but they were just kind of quietly sitting off to the side and, mm-hmm. you know, and the college kids I knew, and they had their stuff yeah. prepped, and no pun intended. And so they talked about all the things that, you know, that they used Planned Parenthood for and what the value was. And we were just about done with the meeting. And then one of the kids from the PrEP program said, oh, should I read my thing? And I said,
sure.
Yes. Go on. Yeah, no clue what, you know, what's about to happen here. And this kid, you know, reaches into his jacket pocket and unfolds this like crumpled up piece of, you know, lined paper and reads his essay on what having access to Planned Parenthood meant to him and the fact that, you know, he was engaging in unsafe sexual contact without a condom, but he understands risk factors now. And I mean, it was this little yeah. three paragraph essay that this kid wrote talking about mm-hmm. how talking to Planned Parenthood completely changed the lifestyle that he was living and made him make much safer choices. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing moment. And I didn't know what was coming. I was just like, whoa,
mind blown.
It was incredible. So yes. this awesome program mm-hmm. is one of the programs that they're targeting.
Yeah.
Talking to kids about making smart choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talking to incarcerated and foster yeah. care youth yeah. about making better choices.
This is the work Planned Parenthood does.
Yes.
That they want to target mm-hmm. to try and stop abortion.
Because abortion, 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 abortion.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. So, yeah.
Who cares about kids in jail, though, really?
Yeah. So, Representative Hagan definitely had the mic drop moment. I wish the committee yeah. had just ended at that point. My hashtag for that tweet was, can we go home now? Because the worst thing about the abortion committee is that it starts at 4 p.m. on mm-hmm. Tuesday afternoons. It's not a 10 a.m. or an 8 a.m. I'm like, is it 4 o'clock?
So if
like,
that's our, oh my God, I need a nap.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, at this point it's like 5:30 and like, we're just done. Like, okay, we proved our point. Can we just go home now? So yeah.
Yeah. I was happy just to hear the highlights later.
Yeah. Randy didn't have to suffer this week. She just got to hear not us bitch time. About it later. Oh, so what other ridiculousness?
So the next in the ridiculousness continues. I know it's a lot. This is SB 203. And this is something that Senator LaRose is putting forth. And so in the vein of trying to do something because of these terrible videos, he wants to ban the medical treatment drive from fetal tissue, which already in Ohio is illegal. Mm-hmm. None of the Planned Parenthoods here participate in the fetal donation program. Emphasis on donation because there's no selling. But even in that case, we don't do it here. It's already illegal. So he wants to make it more illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then ban all the medical treatment.
Yes, exactly, which is vaccines, mm-hmm. Treatment for Parkinson's.
Wait.
Go ahead.
What?
Vaccine.
Exactly.
He wants to ban vaccines?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Bring polio back in Ohio. Bring polio. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes.
We're going to ban the polio vaccine, the rubella vaccine, a whole bunch of vaccines, because a lot of these vaccines were derived in fetal tissue from aborted fetuses, like in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And because they came from that, the way the bill is currently written, it bans medical treatments derived from fetal tissue from abortion, which would be all of these vaccines.
Are you kidding me?
I'm so not kidding.
Unfortunately not.
So the real question on this bill is, did he mean to do that? Or was he just trying to introduce something in this flurry of, we've got to do something?
Yeah.
That we just threw something out there. And so I guess we'll see.
I don't think he meant to do that.
I certainly hope. Like,
yeah.
He's definitely.
I really don't know.
You don't
you
know.
You really don't know.
No.
You really don't know. I don't think he meant. I don't think. Because he's not a doctor. He's not a medical professional. He has no background in it whatsoever. It's obvious that the majority of these legislators do, even though they have at their disposal on our tax dollar all the researchers and attorneys they may need, it's very clear that they don't bother to use them.
Right.
Otherwise, he would have known that this was going to be, you know, an offshoot of trying to ban all medical treatment from fetal tissue. And so now now it's like, oh, well, this is going to ban vaccines.
It'd be funny if all the anti-vaxxers come out and support the bill.
That's what I'm saying.
That would be funny.
I mean, there's totally, you know, a full political wing there.
Yeah.
That he could supports what
we hope is his unintended, you know, that could totally take off.
Yeah.
That's the most irresponsible legislating I've ever seen.
Yes.
It really is.
Exactly.
So yeah, we have no idea whether this bill will pass or move. Like, you know, all the ones we talked about before, the defunding and all the bans and everything else, except for the 6-week ban, like these could easily move through at any moment in time. Right. This one, who knows what we'll really see. We haven't seen hearings yet. It's been assigned to a committee and hasn't come up yet. So we're just kind of waiting and seeing on this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And another one that we're kind of waiting and seeing on, it had one hearing weirdly last May. It's another Representative Christina Hagan bill. It's House Bill 255. It's a restriction on medication abortion. So there's two types of abortions, the surgical abortions that you hear about happening, and then medication abortion or the abortion pill.
Mm-hmm. This is that RU486.
Yes.
Mifepristone.
Mifepristone.
Mm-hmm. Is this the same thing as Plan B?
No.
No, it's not.
Totally a different thing than Plan B. Plan B is emergency contraception taken within 72 to 120 hours, depending on which one it is, to stop you from getting pregnant in the first place. Yeah. If you take Plan B and you're already pregnant,
it's not going to help you. It stops the fertilized egg from implanting in your uterus. Actually, I had a student when I was at Xavier University a few weeks ago, a student asked me if Plan B was an abortifact and or abortifacent.
Abortifacient.
What a stupid word.
I know, right? And I was like, no, it is not. And told them exactly what it is. But a lot of people think wrongly that it is, but it is not. It's not going to help you if you're already pregnant.
No. And so...
So this is just a bill on the RU486 mifepristone abortion pill.
Yes. And so, like, Ohio already has one of the most stringent laws around medication abortion. Mm-hmm. So we already require, when you give out the RU486 regimen, that you have to follow exact FDA protocol. Okay. Instead of... So how drugs work, and a lot of people don't know this, is the FDA approves a drug for a certain purpose. Aspirin for pain relief and fever relief is a perfect example.
Okay.
What else do people take aspirin for?
Heart attacks.
Mm-hmm. It's not an FDA-approved reason for using aspirin. Okay. So if we had this bill on aspirin, people wouldn't be able to use aspirin for heart attacks because it is not part of the original FDA protocol. When drugs are released into the market, we continue to research them. And what we found once, and actually because RU486 and mifepristone were approved in Europe way before they were approved here, there were other evidence-based protocols that work better, have fewer side effects, and cost less money. But in Ohio, we can't use that evidence-based better protocol. We have to use the outdated FDA protocol, which requires 3 times the medication, which means that's 3 times the cost, requires 4 total trips to
Four. So to take a pill?
Yes.
To take 3 pills?
Actually, it's 4 pills with the extra one. But So some of the providers and some of the other protocols, there are a couple other medication abortion protocols that are not the RU486 protocol.
Okay.
So some of our other providers use other slightly different protocols, so they don't kind of fall under this, you have to use this FDA one, because it's not the RU486 protocol, it's a separate one. And so what this new bill will say is you can't do anything medication-wise on abortion unless you use the FDA protocol for RU486. You can only use RU486 and you have to use the outdated FDA protocol.
So that Ohio law intentionally drives up the price and adds layers of inconvenience.
And makes it more unsafe.
Oh, geez.
Because you're taking, I mean, think about it. You're taking 3 times the amount of medication that you need to actually accomplish the duty of the medication.
Right.
So you're going to have 3 times the side effects. So we're already making it harder. And, you know, so when this bill went into effect before, we saw the number of medication abortions drop significantly in Ohio. Some of our providers don't even really talk about it with their patients because it becomes way more expensive to do an early first trimester medication abortion, which is what medication abortion has to be, especially in Ohio, because evidence-based protocol goes to 9 weeks and the FDA protocol only lets you go to 7 weeks. So we've lost 2 weeks of access there. So it's actually way more expensive to do a medication abortion than an early first trimester surgical abortion procedure. So many of our providers don't even talk about it already. So we'll see what happens on that one. Again, it had its first hearing back in May, and we haven't seen it again since then. Mm-hmm. Some rumors had it that they were letting Representative Hagan do her sponsor testimony on that bill because she is pregnant, and they didn't, you know, didn't want to risk her not being able to come back and do it later.
Okay.
one of the various rumors going around the State House. Who knows what's really the right one?
Rumors flutter on the State House.
It's just like high school sometimes.
It's not even, like, no, it's like junior high. It's not even like high school. No.
Said by a former staffer.
Yeah.
Well, only as a
I mean, if you ever find yourself in one of the galleries of the finance hearing room during budget season, it is exactly like a junior high cafeteria. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the lobbyists sit around in little cliques and gossip with each other. I mean, yeah, it's junior high.
It's totally junior high. So we'll see what happens, happens on that one. So really, that's the slate of attacks that we're seeing.
Welcome to Ohio, where everything is backwards.
So we've got the heartbeat bill, the 20-week ban, the Down syndrome ban, defunding Planned Parenthood, crazy fetal tissue vaccine crap, and then a medical abortion restriction.
I'm surprised they couldn't come up with more. I mean, what is that? It's only, what, six?
Well, it's actually nine
Randy,
total.
Bite your tongue.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I know.
So folks can find out a lot more on our website, prochoiceohio.org, where the legislation page is being updated very soon, or on our blog, NARALProChoiceOhio.com. So then let's move on. Last thing is our Let's Get It On segment. What you got going on?
Let's get it on. Okay. yay. Comedy for Choice.
Comedy for Choice in Columbus, October 15th at Signature Wines. And in Cleveland, October 16th at The Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Folks can get tickets, $25, on our website, prochoiceohio.org. It's going to be a really great series, two nights of comedy. In Columbus, we have four comics lined up. In Cleveland, we have three comics plus bowling, because it's a bowling alley too. should be two really great chances for folks to just laugh their butts off. You can find more about the comics that are appearing on our website, prochoiceohio.org, this coming Thursday and Friday, October 15th and 16th.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It'd be a great response to all this ridiculously bad shit that we just talked about.
And I was watching like a little YouTube video, one of the comics, so he was pretending to be Governor Kasich. It was funny. so yay, I'm excited for that because I love comedy and I love choice. So.
And you love wine. It actually is a trifecta for you.
Even more, I love wine. Also, soon, we're having a Women of Color Happy Hour on October 22nd here in Columbus. It's going to be at Zanzibar Brews. And I'm co-sponsoring with my good friends Constance from Planned Parenthood. And so we're going to be putting that on. It's going to be 6 to 8, Zanzibar Brews on Long Street. Also, Happy Hour in Toledo is happening October 14th. I don't know what day of the week that is.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay. Next Wednesday, then. Next Wednesday, October 14th, from 6 to 8 p.m. Is that Attic on Adams?
Yes.
Yes.
That is good.
Apparently, people in Toledo know where that is.
Yes. Yes. If you, then you know what that's talking about. Because I and you can also go to the Keep Abortion Safe and Legal in Toledo Facebook page, and all the events are up there as well. Also, we're going to be having Planned Parenthood is putting on a Detox the Box rally protesting Procter & Gamble and the toxic chemicals that they put in tampons and
maxi pads.
Oh, wow.
Yes. That's very interesting. I really didn't think about, I've never thought about, I'm like in chemicals. Yeah. In the, I didn't know you needed to put chemicals in it.
I mean, you don't really. So yeah, why are you doing
it? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I guess, yeah, that it makes sense. Like, I didn't know you need to because you don't.
And that's October 13th?
Yes, that's October 13th. It's happening early, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. In Cincinnati. And also, I will post that because I don't know where the exact address is.
Yeah.
But that's happening in Cincinnati. And also, soon, the Democratic debate, finally, the first one is happening next Tuesday in Las Vegas.
Are we going to that?
I wish. I'll be ready to gamble. I wouldn't go see it. I would just go gamble. So, but yeah, that's happening. Going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing them, you know, to see what a difference it will be between this one and the Republican one. Like, I feel like it's going to be night and day.
There might be some science.
There could possibly be some science. Hopefully, there'll be lots of logic and reason and, you know, good policy. Yeah.
I love science. Okay, so in Ohio again, that's Cincinnati, October 13th, Detox the Box. October 14th in Toledo with the Happy Hour at Attic on Adams. Comedy for Choice in Columbus is October 15th and in Cleveland, October 16th. Mm-hmm. And then the Women of Color Happy Hour is October 22nd. Anybody can find out more information on any of these. Volunteer at prochoiceohio.org.
Yes.
Please email us.
Mm-hmm.
I think next...
Oh, also, sorry. I wanted to also mention that we will be here. Monday is Columbus Day, but I'll be here. And we're going to phone bank Monday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. And everybody that comes to the phone bank will have a chance to win a free ticket. So you won't have to pay $25 to get in. You'll get a free ticket. Mm-hmm. But you got to come and phone bank and try to help us get the word out.
Great. Okay. Volunteer at prochoiceohio.org.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So this was a great rundown of all the bad bills. Mm-hmm. I think next week we'll come back and talk about the good bills.
Yay!
The it's proactive, so going on the offensive. Yes,
because so women be are not the damsels in distress on the railroad tracks, but they are the train. To quote train. Representative,
choo choo motherfuckers.
Oh boy, this one's getting explicit for sure.
Okay, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.